Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Whole year coming with another wonderful episode of course, thumbnails. If you draw it and put it on the screen, we are down with it. And we're talking about the one, the only Black Panther. And since we're back from the break, I like where we start off kind of with Cap's funeral. And since there's nobody to bury, they're kind of like, it's more of a memorial thing. And you get to see the emotion on everyone's faces and their voices, because the voice acting really helps pull through their disbelief. And that's something that I dig when it comes to this series, because, you know, of course, when you're drawing, you have the art side, but you still have to bring that emotion from your voice. And I think they really come with it there. But I still have to harp on the fact that, yo, there ain't no cameras in Stark Tower or nothing. There ain't no, Black Widow was just like, he killed him, and they was just like, all right, they ain't take nobody. So you know how I feel about that. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, yo, they ain't even like think that he could be telling the truth. Like, he didn't kill Cap, but you know, we'll table that for now. We're gonna continue on. We jump, of course, with Black Panther, and I like him training and continuing to step up his game, because he knows, yo, I'm gonna see Iron Man again, so I might as well get ready. And I like how he's a step ahead. Like, Iron Man's like, yo, I'm smart, and Black Panther's like, yeah, but I thought about three steps ahead. And it's moments like that that make this show cool, because it's their relationships with each other. It's how they maneuver their different truths, their different lies, their different secrets around each other, because they have that history together. So I like that. I really dig it. And I like seeing Shuri in her role now, because her role is kind of trying to reel him in some, because she's like, yo, you still got to run a country, you know, and this stuff with the Avengers, you know, you can't just let this fester. So I do like that relationship we got there. But ultimately, Black Panther like, yo, I'ma have to go back. I gotta figure this out myself, because they ain't trying to figure it out. They trying to blame it on me. I'ma have to figure it out myself. So, of course, the whole stealth maneuver, kudos. Kudos, Marvel. I like the stealthiness. I like him sneaking back in. Matter of fact, I like him knowing like all the codes before they even come up. He's like, yeah, I got this, I got that. I'm sneaking in, I'm doing what I gotta do. And you find out when he finally, you know, gets in there and, you know, starts to sneak around. Of course, Ant-Man's there, which is cool. Thank you, Marvel, for bringing him in. But the conversations, the action and the fight between them shows kind of what it's like even outside of Avengers. Like, if you're in a circle of friends and say, you know, it's 10 of y'all, and, you know, one of y'all is like, hey, but I still like this guy, like, he didn't do anything. It's cool to see Ant-Man on that side where it's like, yo, man, look, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm not angry with you. I just, you know, I want to figure this out. Could you stay and not really be under arrest, but we could ask you some more questions? Because I can honestly understand being in that role where you know, you're not angry, but you feel like you're in the middle, because it's like, I like you guys, but I like him too. You know, Black Panther's never done anything wrong to us. Like, you know, we can trust this guy. Like, why is he public enemy number one? So I see how he's kind of caught in between two worlds, just trying to, I guess, make it work out. But that fight was cool. It shows, I like how each fight, each sequence shows the ingenuity and the physical prowess of T'Challa. We see it with Ant-Man, and we see it, we'll talk about after the jump because it's huge, but of course with him, with Bucky, and with Tony Stark. And just seeing how he kind of like plays out these fight scenes, how he sees everything coming, how he has these, how he's like, okay, this guy's beating me up like this, let me peep his style real quick. I really enjoy it. Now, guys, of course, before the break, we gotta get some little help, a little peace. And of course, Kuro Brand's gonna help us pay them bills. Ooh. Oh, yeah, check the link below. Hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. Now, let's get into, you know, he's broken. He's talked to Ant-Man and all that good stuff. But Bucky's there. But Tony's there. And I mean, he already has his little scuffle with Tony, and he's like, Tony's like, I can't handle it like that, but I brought an extra piece. You know what I'm saying? I got Bucky up in here. And the Winter Soldier versus Black Panther is just as good as you want it to be. Like, fighting in the middle of the street, now of course there's mad people, you know, people's lives are in danger. But it's cool because you see the scales tip, you know, from one side to the other. You see them kind of figuring each other's styles out. You see them bringing in new, you know, so there's a weapon, sometimes there's not a weapon, then there's a gun, and then, you know, throwing, you know, different objects at each other. It's really nice to see how they play against each other over and over and how these things balance. And then even throwing Tony in the mix where it's kind of 2-on-1 from sometimes, and then 1-on-1. This is some great action. You need to see these episodes, super fresh. Love the way they laid these out. But besides that, we find out, oh, he got caught? How'd he get caught? It's not supposed to go down like this. Well, yeah, Black Panther's like, yo, I'm trying to find Claw. I know he in jail. I have to drum all this mess up. So we find out all of this is a ruse just to get in jail. And from going to jail, meeting Claw, figuring out what he knows, breaking him out, it just goes to show how far ahead, how much chess T'Challa is truly playing. You know, T'Challa knew he couldn't just show up and get put in jail. He knew that wouldn't happen. He knew if he showed up, they probably want to have a conversation. He's like, no, I want to go to jail because I need to see Claw. And he knew he couldn't ask, like, yo, man, can I speak to Claw? No, they're going to be like, nah, you can't do that. So he was like, yo, I got to go fight. I got to beat some people up. I got to blow some things up. Then they'll put me in jail. And it just shows, yo, he knows what you'll do before you do it. And even in him breaking him out, even in him meeting up with Spider-Man, you see that he is well, you know, like well-trained and well-prepared for what Claw will do, Tony will do, Bucky will do, Ant-Man, all of that. And it's impressive. Now, of course, I would be remiss without saying that it was nice to see Spider-Man and Black Panther working together. It did seem like Spider-Man's model was a little bit off. Maybe they were trying to work really quick. It didn't seem like his model was strange or something, like it didn't match the animated series that we were watching. But I like the youthful kind of look through his eyes on, well, I mean, he can't be a bad guy. He helped me out. He stopped these guys. He, you know, so seeing more people like Ant-Man, like Spider-Man, you know, maybe it's the insects, man. The insects, they know best. But, you know, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, looking at Black Panther saying like, yo, there's got to be more to this story. Because if there wasn't, you know, he would have just beat me. He would have just hurt me. He would have tried to kill me or something like that. He would have broke my bones or something. And he worked to protect me. He worked to stop the bad guys. So his conversation with Tony really, I hope, changes the perception slightly of where Tony stands. And maybe we can start to figure out what really, really happened. Because I'm not sure, at least not right now, that Captain America is dead. So guys, holla at me. I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk Black Panther. I know I got another one coming up. We will catch up super soon, but until then.
Yo, this is Clue coming to you live on Nerd Soul. This is Rock the Spot. So my name is Clue, multimedia artist, run a independent record label in Los Angeles called The Jump Off Sound. The Jump Off Sound is an independent record label. Basically, we help develop young artists coming out of the community. Started out in my garage. It's still in my garage right now. And basically, yeah, we record, we produce music. We have a DJ crew. We're like a small label, independent label. What's it like running an independent label? Think about having a child that's awake constantly, and you just constantly have to deal with the child constantly. That's pretty much what it feels like to me. Like, you know, like just constant development, constant nurturing, constant attention. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of, you know, not sleepless nights, but little sleep. Yeah. Oh man. You know, the initial cost of getting equipment, that was tough. When I'd gotten the first turntable and mixer and things like that, I'd just gotten repatriated back to America. So I didn't really have really anything. So like just like developing that and getting the equipment, that was tough at first. And then it's like going out, networking and try to get, you know, different places to play, whether as an individual DJ or for your sound, right? LA is a big place, but you know, it's a big place, but it's oversaturated. I don't want to say oversaturation, but there's a lot of people that do what we do, right? So it's just harder to get into a spot. So that was difficult at first. It pretty much took like a whole year really to work us into a spot. And I got my first residency at Milk Crate Mondays, which is run by DP Sound. So I guess some of the pitfalls would just be the initial building of your network. You know, a label is supposed to be a distribution point for music, right, or art. So how do you distribute it? You need a network. So I think that was the biggest thing. Yeah, costs and yeah, just being out there. The cost of being out there, you know? Like being out is not free. You know, going to places is not, it's just not free, you know? So yeah, that's the hardest part. I would say the different aspect that's between us and other labels is like, we don't necessarily just target musicians, we target other artists too. Like I said, we have other aspects of hip hop culture in the Jump Off Sound. So we have graffiti writers that are part of the label, right? We have people, we've talked to people that do dance that want to be a part of it as well, right? So I would say that's the difference. And another thing that we like to encourage artists that are interested, or you know, people that join up, is to use this as an experience to get you either to another place you want to go. You know, everybody has aspirations of being signed by Def Jam or, you know, Atlantic or something like that. And we don't want to stale that or feel like people can't do that, like being part of a label. This is more of a community where we're building, but we want to be a, you know, major player in the distribution market. So that's the whole goal. One, like back in college, like there's like the song, like the Jump Off, Kim, right? That was cool. Like me and my brethren, we used to be like, what's a jump off? We used to say a 40 and a blunt. That was the jump off. Like we used to party and shit like that. And that's one aspect of it. And then another layer of it is Wu-Tang Clan and Pinky Ring. They shout out the Jump Off. And what really all kind of connected it was, there is actual an event that happens in South Africa called the Jump Off in Soweto. And then I was like, man, like I just keep seeing this name like over and over and over again. And it's like, no one was the Jump Off Sound. So that's what I did, the Jump Off Sound. I mean, we bring forth a different sort of experience, I feel like. If you come to our events, you know, it's more of a all-encompassing elements of hip hop. Like we just did at Midnight Marauders, like we had MCs, we had writers, we had breakers, we had DJs, you know what I'm saying? We had, you know, what they used to have at hip hop parties. And so the Jump Off is, you know, where everybody comes and you jump off your bullshit and you're chilling, you know what I'm saying? As far as like right now on the Jump Off Sound, we have one MC, his name is Fatal, he's 24, he's from South Central Los Angeles. He's released an EP and a single on iTunes. I myself am a DJ. I have a residency out of Milk Crate Mondays. I produced an instrumental earlier this year called Lando. We got DJ Throwback. He's another DJ. He's a resident at Compton Open Mic. And he does been DJing for well over a decade. And he's been doing a lot of things in the community. He's also does some guest spots of what I have. Space, DJ Space, is actually in a band, and he's basically like another DJ. So we're all, right now I would say the only person MC releasing the project like that would be fatal. We had some previous members that came that did some beat tapes, but they weren't released like on like iTunes or anything. Our official release and what we have right now is basically fatal. And it's a pretty good feeling because we did that single in, I want to say like a few months, you know, and it was pretty cool. Like he had just come in the studio, we started talking, started, you know, figuring out, you know, what direction he wanted to go in, and he was down with us. So then we released that. It's pretty cool. And you can stream it. It's on all platforms and everything like that. I would have to say, like, in a sense, like, definitely, you know, CLUE is an acronym, stands for Culture, Life, Universe. It was a tag that I developed when I was in college. And it also, it's also character in the Tron series. I would say the aspects of myself that are in the Jump Off Sound are the, how do you say, the curiosity, right? To always want to do something that's not what everybody else is doing, right? We even play in our selection, song selection, which I would say is maybe even a part of it. Like people, like the music I listen to, other people in the crew also rock with it, pretty heavy. And when we play parties and stuff, you know, people want to call us like old school almost in a sense. And like, we're not even playing music. Some of the music's not even that old. But really what they're talking about is the time. Right, we're playing things that are more in tune with, you know, the aspects of the culture that are fun, you know, uplifting, you know, motivating. We're not, you know, none of us are like no fucking bottle popper, you know, bottle service type cats. Like, yeah, we like nice things, like we look fly and stuff, but that's not like the mission. The mission is to actually push forward the art form to have people come together. That's a beautiful thing about music. So my, so every, I guess, little aspect of my curiosity and want for unity, right? And I guess that's the universe part, you know, it's to come together. So the big wins, man, just the embracement of the community, music community has been great, especially independent music. I've been able to network with some mentors that are part of the Soul Brothers that really like what we got going on. You know, the involvement of other people and aspects of music, DJs, producers, MCs that have come, whether it is to the studio or to our events, you know, that's been great too. I would say the biggest accomplishment so far would have to be starting For Real Fridays, you know, developing that over the past few months, and then Midnight Marauders pretty much was like our biggest event, and we had Fat Lip DJ, we had some actual female DJs, a lot of people don't even have female DJs on their bill, and we did that, Gene K, K Mondre, and it was just like a really good experience, and from that, we've got to look at our first sponsorship. It's not official as of yet, so I'm not going to say it, but like we're acquiring a sponsorship, like people are believing in the group. And that going into like the new year of 2019 is a pretty good feeling, you know.
It's been about 2 years. We talk about them kids. They ain't sidekicks no more. That's right, they're not yet the Justice League, but they ain't them little pipsqueaks that used to run around tagging and tugging on any kind of cape they could find. We're talking about Young Justice. And today we're gonna be talking about the first three episodes and what I thought were really dope about them as we catch up to the series and have a lot of fun. First thing I noticed was the new models. I like the new looks. Big shout out to Phil Barassa. Dope new looks, love the hairstyles, love the, you know, the different natural look that we get from like Miss Martian. I love the like more grizzled look of like Superboy. I like seeing Artemis and stuff. All of the looks are really cool and it's nice to see some fresh faces and also some faces that we saw last time we were around. I do like starting the episode off or starting the series off sort of with the Justice League and seeing, catching up with them and seeing where their life is opposed to Young Justice and kind of where they are mentally, physically, and all that. And also what's going on in the world with this metahuman trafficking, because this kind of brings in a whole new, you know, look at how heroes, how metas are looked at in the world, you know, instead of just like, let's take them out or let's praise them. This is like, well, let's use them as a commodity. And I think that's a nice way to kind of attack this and focus for this season, because we've had some great stuff in the years past. And now this is a new kind of a new villain or a new, I guess, a new angle for them to look through and a new lens for them to check through as well. The teamwork is definitely on point, especially from the Young Justice side, but even the Justice League, you see them working together, trying to stop these different, I guess, pockets of uprising of these weird metahumans that are fighting for no reason, this weird stuff. And with Black Lightning being in here, of course, we find out that he accidentally kills a kid. And we deal a lot with that as well, that I'll touch on later. But I think bringing in some of that heart, bringing in some of that great area of fighting on the battlefield, I think it's good for this show. Another thing I think that's really good for this show is deciding on and figuring out how useful the League really is. Like with the meeting of them coming together, deciding to break up, and, you know, well, not really breaking up, but some people leaving and stuff like that. Trying to ask yourself, or even seeing the League ask themselves, are we needed anymore? Are we necessary? Is the Justice League valid? And then seeing, where does that leave Young Justice? Where does that leave their team? What should they do? How does that affect them? And I do like that they have decided, look, Justice League can do what they want. We're our own, like, we got love for them. We came up under them, but their business is theirs. We're dealing with our team and what we want to do and how we're going to move ahead. But also seeing like the fractured relationships, even sort of with Dick Grayson and him leaving off, there's so many different moving parts in the hero community that I think will make this show this season vastly different and in a very good way when we talk about Young Justice. Now, right before the jump, I will touch on, I like the broadening of the scale, seeing the international community respond to this and how they're dealing with human trafficking, how it's handled and what it looks like in each different country and what they're doing to either ask for help to combat it or either turn a blind eye to it. And seeing these people that are actually kind of trafficking these kids, that are experimenting on these kids and what their mindset is, I think that brings another layer of depth. So you have the hero community, their fractured relationships, and then you see this underworld organization or kind of network of organizations that are doing this, and we don't know exactly why or if all the purposes are the same or if some are different. I think that's something that we're going to get a chance to really get into and enjoy as we watch the show, and I'm digging it. I'm digging Count Vertigo. I'm digging the little vats of, you know, tar or whatever they're dumping the kids in. I like the conversations of like, is this our country? This ain't our country. That's their country. We don't deal with that. I like those looks at how we're going to approach this metahuman trafficking as a whole. Now, I got some other stuff to get to after the jump, of course, because we got some dope fight scenes. But first, we're going to let Kuel Brand help us pay them bills. Oh yeah, check that link below. Hats, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. Now let's get into the investigation, the search. Where, you know, we're kind of getting this team together on Dick's side to figure out what's going on with these kids. What's going on in this country, you know, where they're all in the news. We see, you know, the parents done died. Something ain't right. Something's going wrong. And Dick Grayson's like, yo, I gotta assemble me a team. I gotta put me some folks together because I'm not in Young Justice no more. So I gotta do my own thing. And seeing him pick up, you know, like Superboy, Black Lightning, getting, you know, these certain folks together, and then seeing him talk to Oracle as well, it's just a nice touch. I love how we how we kind of graze and touch and lightly pick against all of these relationships and help broaden the world. I'm always about kind of like filling out the lore, broadening the world and the span and the scope of even what we see, because sometimes you don't have to see something for someone to reference another character or reference something that happened with another character. And I think that's really good. I think that's extremely great to see how they play that off. And then of course, their trials and tribulations, just getting the team together. And then once they get there, seeing them realize, oh, this is the place. Oh, they are trafficking these kids. So what are we gonna do about it? And before I get to that, I wanna touch on two things that I think is cool. Seeing Beast Boy and his relationship now, kind of being the celebrity and kind of like, I guess, doing this sort of celebrity humanitarian aid thing for other metahumans, I think is very cool. Also, I like how glitz and glammy everything is around him. I guess, you know, they're like, yo, he sold out. But on the flip side, what I do enjoy is the deep conversation around Black Lightning and what he did and what he, how he sees himself. You know, he's like, hey, I killed a kid. And I mean, of course, he wasn't aware of that, but it messing with him not only mentally, but then that following through physically with him not really being able to activate his powers like he could before. And seeing him struggle with that until, of course, the end where it's kind of a life or death situation, which kind of we knew was going to happen. But at the same time, it was nice to see that happen and it be remarked upon, because the concept of death has really loomed around these three episodes. And of course, I'm pretty sure we're gonna see it in the following episodes, but just seeing that concept really take hold and see what it really means in this show. And you know, our heroes are growing up, and as they grow up, we're seeing younger heroes coming under them, but they're starting to deal with some very real things. Now, outside of that, I will of course talk about the action, because you know your boy loves that action. The fight scenes in here, nice. Very nice. Getting reveals of Count Vertigo and get even the Baron or whatever being a meta, that was nice. But seeing these hard hitting action scenes is something that is right up my alley, and I truly enjoyed it. They find a way to pair off heroes and villains in a way that keeps the action tense but doesn't overpower each side. You know, it might be 2-on-1 over here, but the 2-on-1, one of the two might be slightly hurt, slightly injured or something, or maybe, you know, their mental state isn't right. They find a way to pair off these action scenes very, very well. And shouts out to DC, shouts out to Phil Barassa, the whole animation team, because I am digging it. So, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about Young Justice, let's talk about Black Lightning on the team, Superboy's maturity. There's so much in here. Beast Boy being a celeb, how'd that happen? I mean, look, we'll never ever know. But before I bounce, I'm gonna tell you guys to hit up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out right there. All my videos from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt player. Don't forget to get one for them players. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there's no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So, LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourself. Please be good to each other, and remember, whenever the bomb is about to go off, just take cover. Peace.